Good morning, Steve Alexander. It's a gorgeous morning.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff to do. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to do out in the yard, and weather's good to do it.
How's your yard looking?
Looking really good right now. Unfortunately, we bought a whole bunch of perennials to plant this spring from a major supplier. And first of all, less than a quarter of them actually grew. And the ones that did grew are all white. They should have been purple, yellow, orange, all kinds of colors. They're all white. So that's very disappointing because we've lost a year now. But other than that, the garden's looking good. Jane does most of the work out there. I can't do it anymore. And being a farm girl, she loves to get out first thing in the morning and hoe the weeds out or pull them and cut things back that need cutting or put a little water here and straighten something out there. So the garden looks really good.
Mr. Fizz, today is National Sneak a Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
I thought it was a baseball bat, but you say it's a zucchini. I thought it was a green baseball bat that the kids left there. But you know, some people just let them get away. And it's not too hard to do because these things hide under the foliage, and after 3 or 4 days you find it, and it's as big as your arm. But you can use those. You can grind them up and use that zucchini for making cake and pie or cakes and so forth later in the season. So it's not a waste. Or you can hollow it out and fill it with ground beef and all kinds of stuff. And you know, it's interesting. I haven't seen a lot of bees, but obviously they're out there because the flowers are getting pollinated, which is what it takes to get these things to make fruit. Some plants pollinate themselves, like tomatoes and so forth, but zucchini is not one of those. The zucchini flowers, male flower and the female flower are two different flowers, and there has to be pollen transferred from one to the other. We knew some people out, and I worked with some people out in the state of Washington that had zucchinis in the winter in greenhouses. And, of course, there are no bees outdoors that time of year, so they had beehives in the side of the greenhouse, and they had bees all year that would do the pollinating for them. So that's necessary.
So what else is going on in the garden today, Mr. Fizz?
Well, you know, just like vegetables are beginning to produce really well, it's time to begin collecting the seed and dividing perennials. That needs to be done this time of year if you're going to have enough time for them to get to the point where they'll stand the winter. Actually, August 5 was the midpoint of summer, so we still have half the summer to go. But it is time to begin collecting the seed, like things like coneflowers, black-eyed Susan, and columbine, and so forth, as they ripen. And you can tell when they're ripe because the birds begin feeding on them. Incidentally, if you're growing some of the new hybrids, cut the spent blooms off because the seedlings will not come true to form. But if you're going to save the seed, put a little bag over the ripening flowers so they don't shatter, and, of course, leave some of the seed heads for the birds. That's very important. You can take this seed and sow it immediately. I put it in rows out in the garden, in nurse beds, I call them, and you need to label each one so you know what's where. Some of these seeds will start immediately, and some will start after the winter cold. Or save the seed, sow it indoors under lights in late winter. Now, if you're going to do this, you need to refrigerate that seed for a little while in an unheated garage or in a refrigerator because it has to have cold weather to break the dormancy. Some of the perennials are ready to divide. Daylilies, as soon as they get done flowering, iris, columbine, monarda, coneflowers, all these things can be dug up and divided now to give them time to get established for winter. Dig up the clumps, divide into sections with the fan of leaves on each one, and especially with iris, discard the rotted parts. Those have borers in them. Cut the fans back to 6 or 8 inches tall and replant these sections spaced out correctly, 12 inches for short stuff, tall stuff at 2 to 3 feet. Water them in thoroughly and let them go. They should be fine. With twiggy things like the coneflowers and grasses and some of the herbs like rhubarb and so forth, they can be dug up and divided, but they grow from the center out. So you need to cut these out to remove the dead center sections that are not going to grow anymore anyway. Cut these plants back to 6 inches or so and replant them as you did with the other stuff. And water them in thoroughly to firm the soil. Now, we always have a bunch of leftovers. I had a client for a number of years who grew just gobs of stuff and had a beautiful, beautiful yard, but she always arranged when she was going to do division late in the season or at the middle of the season to have some place for it to go. She has supplied Brookfield Zoo, Lincoln Park Conservatory, the planetarium, and places like that with wonderfully grown plants that they're very glad to get if you arrange ahead of time for them to get them. Or you can take these plants that are left over, line them out, and heal them in an earth bed somewhere for growing on for later use. Or, last resort, dispose of them in the compost or the yard waste recycler and get them out of your way. Now, before you forget what you've got planted where, be sure you put labels on. I'm a big fan of labeling. I use a lot of them, and they can just be these wooden labels, but write on them with a soft pencil and make sure it indents into the wood a little bit so that even if the lead wears out, you still can tell what's on there. And by the way, be sure you update your garden plan and make the entries in your garden journal before you forget what you've done and where.